Jesus Christ. Today, on the second Sunday of Lent, the Orthodox Church commemorates our Holy Father Gregory Palamas, Archbishop of Thessalonica, the Wonder Worker. Now, the feast day of St. Gregory Palamas is normally on November 14th. However, he is commemorated on this Sunday due to the condemnation of his enemies and the vindication of his teachings by the Church in the 14th century. And because of this, this day is proclaimed as a second triumph of Orthodoxy. Simply put, very simply put, St. Gregory is known to us for his defense of heart over reason in his debate with the humanistic scholar Barlaam the Calabrian. Now, Barlaam proclaimed in his theses, in his debates, that it was not possible for man to truly know God. While St. Gregory taught the opposite, that through the ascetical practice of the prayer of the heart, or the Jesus prayer, that can bring us to God's energies, uncreated energies, and bringing us in the presence of the Lord through the cleansing of all unnecessary burdens and weights in our heart. By a simple prayer, drawing Christ closer to us and in striving for a deeper continual repentance. Every action or movement that we take in the church, we must understand, because of this teaching, that the action itself is not an end in itself. Rather, the purpose of it is to draw us closer and closer to Christ. In other words, our practices aren't just to garner a sense of an achievement or to meet rules. They're here to bring us healing. In today's gospel, we see a grand example of the need to free our hearts from distractions and burdens so that the Lord will find place in our chests and know us. The gospel reads that the Lord came into Capernaum into a home that was full to the brim with people. As we see in Orthodoxy today, as we are an icon of this, filled to the brim with people, a lot of the times this can cause distractions. But she is not the distraction. She is not the distraction. The distractions are in here. And the things that sometimes we bring into the church ourselves, rather inadvertently or sometimes purposely, that are tied from the world and causing the rooms in our hearts to be filled with things that may be crowding out the one who is truly needful, Christ. As the gospel continues, we read that some men were carrying their friend, specifically four men. He's a paralytic. He was sick with palsy. They brought him to see the Lord, for they knew he was the only one who could heal him. They could find no space when they got into the home. They could find no path to get near the Lord. It was overly crowded. It was filled to the brim. Christ was there, but for the moment, he was unattainable. So they said no words. They made no grand gestures. They made no complaints or grumbling. In fact, I doubt anyone else noticed them outside of Christ. When they saw that there was not enough room to reach the Lord through their house, in their faith, they quietly climbed the roof to let their friend down through a hole that they made so that their friend, whom they were carrying on a pallet, could access the Lord. And when the Lord saw this example of faith, he was moved. Now, why is that? Well, the fathers teach because he saw straight in their heart. The room of their heart was full of abundance for the Lord. It is why the church continues to this day to celebrate and persuade us of what St. Gregory so humbly and eloquently defended years ago, that our prayer and our spiritual life is to be focused on the cleansing of our hearts to make room for Christ. He will know us by her fruits, reads the gospel. But the fruit of the Lord isn't rule-seeking. Following the fast, the very job or the tittle, although the fast is important. Rather, the fruits are humility. their meekness, love, and sincerity of faith exuding from our hearts. As Psalm 50 reads, a broken and contrite heart God will not despise. Now Christ replies to this action by telling the sick man that through his friends, through their heart, his sins were forgiven. Not only giving us a new dynamic and understanding of show of faith through works, but also that our salvation is affected by the person that is sitting right next to us. We must learn to move as a community. We must adapt to all the new circumstances that are out there and adapt in a way not changing, but being able to find a new path to the Lord in some circumstances like these men. But in everything that we do, we must keep our eyes on Christ. We must keep our heads up, not only for ourselves, but for the person next to you. And now this is exemplified best in the Old Testament reading in the book of Judges, when Gideon took his soldiers to the stream to drink. It reads, "The Lord said to Gideon, 'Everyone who laps water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink.'" In essence, in their action of drinking the life-giving water, those who put their heads down and did not look upwards, who drank as the animals do with their heads down, not aware of what was coming up on the horizon, any attacks, or just to keep their gaze upon Christ, these were not selected as the good warriors. On the other hand, those who got down on one knee, keeping their face and their heads up to the horizon, lapping up the water, always keeping their gaze upon Christ, those were selected as the good warriors. And so we must do, brothers and sisters, in every action, in every prayer, in every ascetical practice, always keeping our eyes on the horizon upon Christ. If we do this, we will be set apart. Now, at the other end of the spectrum, in the gospel, we see the scribes. The gospel teaches that they held disdain for the Lord's words of forgiveness. It said they reasoned in their hearts. Reasoned in their hearts. They used reason to try to figure out the situation. And as we hearken back to what Barlaam of Calabria would say, using reason, eventually, it leads to denial of truth. And they stubbornly clinging to these externals, to their reason, to the rules, they couldn't recognize who was sitting before them. They couldn't recognize the Lord. But they were sure to make sure that every ingredient of the law was kept in their hearts. And what was the price? In doing so, they showed their lack of faith and their lack of love. They questioned the Lord's ability to forgive sins. And yet again, the fathers teach the Lord saw right through this, because they also didn't say a word, like the men. But the Lord was able to answer their condition. There was no room for them in his heart. There was no room for him in their heart. Brothers and sisters, we can be sure that this causes the Lord the most anguish. We will not be rewarded for saying 1,000 Jesus prayers or keeping the fast perfectly if it is done without humility, if it is done without our neighbors, if it is done without the Lord. The Lord's ability to see our heart's condition is not only a frightful thought, but it is proof of his majesty. He is our true physician. He is our source of life. Now, it is frightful that at many times we find ourselves hiding from the Lord, giving ourselves a false sense of security, believing that the things that we harbor in our hearts, no one can see, or that the Lord will not notice. But it's also majestic that knowing that the Lord is the one who can provide us true sanctuary in this brokenness, in this hurt. If we would only climb the walls we have built around our hearts like the man in this passage and find a new opening to him. This is the good news, brothers and sisters, that the Lord yearns for us to be in his presence, and that we must come to stand in his presence, and that we can actually do so. At times we see the Lord revealing himself as he did to Mary and Martha at Bethany, or appearing suddenly to the Apostle Paul or the others on the road to Emmaus. Sometimes men are brought to the Lord's presence, as Apostle Andrew brought St. Peter, as Philip brought Nathanael, as we read last year, or last week, I should say, and last year, as we remember the men in today's gospel. But we can be of no help to any other men until we bring ourselves to Christ. And we do this through our daily life, especially this season of Great Lent, through earnest prayer, fasting, and attending the services that the church prescribes and teaches us. We must not hold back this season, brothers and sisters. We must fight to maintain the focus on who stands right before us on the horizon, waiting for our cleansed heart so that he can fill that space, to strive to love the Lord, to place him before every distraction that may find its way and cleave to our hearts. I know that it is difficult and sometimes insurmountable, but the Lord will help. And for many of us, like myself, it may not be the thing that we want to do. We may want to continue with the old habits, the old information that we consume daily, or the infatuations that we struggle with that we think provide us the sustenance that is best for us. But if we believe this, we're truly lying to ourselves. These habits that we've grown accustomed to, Elder Emiliano Sosimano Petra says, have been intertwined with our soul. So it takes humility and patience to align our will to that of God. Therefore, let us not hold back, brothers and sisters, even if we're not feeling it today. And today we remember that if the world has its clenches on us and is weighing us down, St. Gregory Palamas fought for the simplicity of the sweet words of the Jesus Prayer. And do not believe that if your prayer is not simple yet honest, that it will not be heard by the Lord. Lengthy prayers and vigils, they're good, but they're not required. St. Paisios of Athos, among other fathers, said, even a deep sigh, if it is sincere and it comes from the heart, is acceptable as prayer. Do not believe also that it is solely our effort that is garnering this grace. We must believe that the Lord is here in our midst, in this room right now, among this crowd, that we can share in his energies. If we do not believe this, why are we here? If we do not believe this, are we truly even Christian? We must not hold back, brothers and sisters. Our salvation rests in the little things that we do, the things that we do daily and consistently, with sincere faith and heart. The little actions will achieve great feats. I entreat you, before anything grandiose, just learn how to be present. And seek first how to learn how to prostrate your hearts. Humble your hearts by fasting as best as you can. Do not put yourselves first in anything. Be last in line with the Lord. As St. Gregory says, the sons of God are those who neglect human glory. Our Lord is a great teacher, and he sees your effort. As the men who did everything in simplicity to bring their friend to the need to the presence of the Lord, let us have courage this great Lent to climb over the walls we have built around our hearts and seek healing from the Lord. And everything that we do and everything that we undertake, let us remember to keep our eyes on the horizon. In the name of the Father, and the Son,